Hello there. Welcome to our Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. In today's teachings, our Sticks and Stones series, Pastor Will will be discussing the importance of our words and how they play in our daily lives. So prepare your hearts to hear a word from God today.
Well, I'm excited because the Bible says he sent his word, talking about God, and it healed us. His word has the ability and the power to fix whatever's broken. Catch the revelation of that. God sent his word, and his word did the work by itself. Some of us think we need something else other than the word of God. You don't need anything else other than the word of God. The word of God will give you instructions on whatever else you can get or you can move in, but you got to, first of all, trust the word of God to do it for itself. Amen? So point your hands toward me real quick, and we're just going to believe the Lord as you pray for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you have the ability to use clay to bless clay. Clay can't come up with anything of itself to bless clay, but be used of you. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would use me in the mighty name of Jesus to bless your precious-hearted people. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for visiting us in this awesome time of worship in this sanctuary. Thank you for our visitors. Thank you for our guests. Thank you for those who have proven to be faithful. We thank you for being here today. Have your way in Jesus' name. We lift up our pastor, his staff, and the vision of our church. Use it mightily in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, listen, we got something to give you today. Amen. Have you been feasting on the word that God's been giving us these past few weeks? It's just really been a blessing. We're still dealing with the Sticks and Stones series. And that's the old verb, sticks and stones may break my bones, but they told me words would never hurt me. But what later I found out that words really hurt. What I say to myself hurts. What I allow other folks to say to me. Are you hearing me, somebody? What people have spoken on us. Some of us are still trying to live past some things that's been spoken over us. So we found out living of sticks and stones, yes, they do break bones, and words can damage also. But we also found out correct words can heal. Words from the lips of Jesus can bring healing, restoration, amen, and total deliverance. And so what we're going to be talking about today, amen, is the orbit of our faith. The orbit of our faith. Now we realize when you hear the word orbit, just think of that proverbial picture that you've seen in school of the planets orbiting the sun. As a matter of fact, as I was thinking about that, they weren't able to draw it up for me, but I saw things that we need in faith going over where the planets were. And then the S-U-N becoming the S-O-N. So whatever you need, it needs to orbit around the Son of God. It needs to orbit around what he taught and what he said and what he did. So we're going to be talking about the orbit of our faith, and the orbit of our faith is going to always be reflected by what we say. So we're still dealing with the power of words. Amen? Let's go in the Bible if you can, if you have your Bibles. And I always want to encourage those of you to bring your Bible so you can see it for yourself. I know you say, well, Pastor, you have the scriptures right up there for us. Yeah, but you need to take it home with you too. That's right. You need to be able to mark it in your Bible, or at least bring your notebook so you can take notes. Amen? Right. Make sure that we're on point. Amen? Notice what it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 22 through 24. Please read.
So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, mm-hmm. I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.
Wow. Wow. So today, as we talk about the orbit of our faith, the orbit of our faith, we're going to be dealing with the important principles of how to ensure that our words orbit around what Jesus Christ taught, what Jesus Christ said, and what Jesus Christ did. Why? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. So you can actually begin to get a pulse of what really where my faith is by how I'm talking. If you want to check somebody's faith, just listen to how we talk. You can see the orbit of our faith. Okay? When I looked up the definition of the word orbit, it says the curved path, usually elliptical, described by the planet or the satellite or even a spaceship, if you would, or et cetera, going around a celestial body, something like the sun. So that's what I want you to be thinking about. The orbit of our faith needs to be going around what Jesus Christ taught, what he said, what he did, what he said about us, what he said we are, who he said we are. Our faith needs to be going around that, and our words need to be identifying exactly with that. And we're going to be talking a strong point on that. But before I go into that, can I recap on some things we talked about the past couple of weeks? We had some great nuggets. Man, I'm telling you, it's some great nuggets. I mean, some of these nuggets were so good, I would go back and listen to the CD myself. That's how good they were. Because, I mean, it was just a rich word. Somebody say a rich word. The first nugget that we gave you was the power a picture has over words. Remember we talked about that? The power a picture has over words. And matter of fact, I was saying how it just perplexes me how it seems as if, how is it that people can ignore wise instruction? How can you ignore wise instruction that you know is correct and do something you know that's wrong? Do something that you know that's detrimental. Do something that you know that's damaging to you. And you know scientifically, this is not a fable. It's what they're telling you is bad for you is actually bad for you. What they're telling you will hurt you will actually hurt you. What they're telling you what will get you in trouble will actually get you in trouble. But still, people ignore that wise counsel and go straight into that which is detrimental. And I said, what's up with that? Has anybody ever wondered? Have you ever looked at yourself and seen yourself do something that you knew wasn't the best for you? Did you ever take a time out and say, what's up with me? Normally, we're so in the middle of it, we don't take a time out. We're too busy in it. But I want to encourage you, while you're in it, take a pause break. What's up with me? Why am I doing something I know that's not going to help me? Remember we talked about the proverbial kid that's 12, 14, 15 years old, seen the science books, seen the videos, seen the black lungs in people that smoke, seen all of that that's going on, and then run straight down to the store after school and get them their first pack of cigarettes. Like they think the teacher's lying to them. Oh, by the way, they don't even have a job yet. And it makes you say, what? I could see maybe 50 years old, you're 50 years old, you know, and you forgot what the teacher said, and you went down and bought your first pack of cigarettes. But no, we're talking left school, did a book report on it. Oh, you hear me, somebody? Saw the video, straight down. I'd like to order some, Newport shorts in the box, I might add. She heard somebody say it. That's all. Y'all stop hating on her sister. Come on. She's trying to help her pastor out. Allow me to commentate on those that's on the podcast. A dear sister, a very spirit-filled sister that happened to be in the praise team, gave me the correct, accurate name of a well-known brand of cigarettes. And so we just wanted to clean up for her a little bit. Anyway. Okay. But don't it just make you wonder what's up with that? And then we share with you the power of pictures over words. And we share, now we know words can change things, and we know how words can damage. And we talked about words have the ability to travel at the speed of sound, which is around 1,000 miles a second. It's around 1,123 miles per second, which is fast. Man, I mean, that's why it's no wonder that the right words can change people's lives. I mean, it's just powerful how quick words can go to where it needs to go and get something done and come back to you. So we know words work and the power of words work. But I said, but why is it that they could sit there and listen to those intelligent, educational words even see videos of it, and still not believe it. And the Holy Spirit said, because they have a picture that supersedes or cancels out the words. I said, what? He said, because if you look at a picture, see, a picture is processed at the speed of light. Now, the speed of sound is, what, like we said, about 1,000 miles a second, which is 1,123. But the speed of light is 282 miles per second. Wait a minute. 186,282 miles per second. Not per minute, not per hour, per second. So that told me that if you divided those two, that's actually 165 times. What are you saying, Brother Preacher? I didn't know we were going to have a science class. Well, no, we're not having a science class. I'm trying to show you why we do stupid when we know better. I'm trying to show you why we do stupid when we know better. Because there's a picture, a dominating picture, that has the ability to go to wherever we say we should be and should do, tell and come back and tell us we can't do it. There's a dominating picture in our heart and our mind that goes to the destination where we see that we can be somebody. Somebody's telling us we can be somebody, but when you grew up, all you could see was folks that weren't trying to be anybody, and somebody told you you're going to be like the folks you see. So now you see a dominating picture that's canceling out the words. And see, that picture travels much faster than sound. Matter of fact, 165 times faster. So it has the ability to go there, come back in about, 81, 82 times per second. It'll tell you, you can't do it. So even though they're telling you, you have the ability to stop doing what you've been doing, but the picture in your mind shows you, I can't. Even though they told you in those science books, cancer is derived from cigarettes, but somebody you grew up with that you admired, the first picture you remember them putting a cigarette out their mouth, and you want to be like them. Oh, you hear me? I'm not beating up folks with cigarettes. I'm just telling you, scientists show us, scientific studies show us, it's not good for us. I would think that the smarter our kids get, they would just walk away from cigarettes. Have you figured out why they haven't yet? Because of the picture that cancels out the knowledge and the education. Does that make sense to you? So we talked about the power of picture over words. And so what we have to do is realize in the scripture, God always gives us word pictures when he wants us to grab faith. God always gives a word picture. You don't believe me? Remember we talked about this. Go to Genesis chapter 13. I'm going to show you. God gives his people word pictures to get you past what you see. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. What did he say?
And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever.
Stop right here. So here you see the Lord speaking to Abram. Even before he changed his name, he gave him a promise that he was going to give him something. But notice what the Lord does. He tells Abram, lift up your eyes. Do you see that? Lift up your eyes and look from the place. This is key. That's why I wanted you to bring your Bibles. But we're not going to beat you up today. But next week, we're taking lists. And we're going to be checking who bring the Bibles, okay? Notice what it says. Look from where what?
You are.
Faith has to stop looking from where it is.
Amen.
If you're going to move in faith, you got to look from where you are and to look to where God's calling you to be. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, the problem most folks have is they keep looking where they are, but they want to believe God, but they keep looking at what they're living in, and they want to believe God, and they keep looking at their mess up, and they want to believe God. But if you can just stop looking at where you are and look from where you are to where he's calling you. I just want to talk to somebody that's still stuck, but you want to have hope. God says, look from where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Look, sounds like in all directions, doesn't it? He said, and that's what I'm going to give you and your descendants forever. God gives him a picture, not just words. Faith from the word of God will always create a picture for you to believe. Those of you, when you look back at God doing great things in your life, you had to see it before you could have it. See it in your mind. Some of you right now are walking around and you were on your back, flat on your back, but I promise you, you saw yourself getting up. You saw yourself getting up. I know you was in the bed and everybody was crying and everybody was doing this, but you said to yourself, I cannot stay here. Did you say it? Yeah, I'm getting up out of this bed. I know they said the odds of this against me and this and that. I am not staying. Look, if you couldn't say it with your mouth, you said it to yourself. Lord, am I talking to anybody? You had to say it. And then after you said it, you saw yourself. Oh, I'm getting out of this bed. I'm getting out of this bed. Feet, you're going to have to start moving. Side, you're going to have to. And before you knew it, the picture that you saw began to be more dominant than what you was living in. Amen. Who am I talking to today? Amen. See, I'm still talking about the orbit of our faith, but see, your faith has to orbit around what he says about us. Am I talking to you? Let's get another picture. Let's see what God does. God also went to Genesis. He took us to Genesis 15, what? 15 verse 5 and 6. What did he do? Go ahead.
Then he brought him outside. What? And said,
Wait. He took him outside now. What? Go ahead.
And said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness.
Stop here. So the first one, God gives him something to look at during the day. God gives him a day picture. So look at your neighbor and say, you need a day picture. And then he gives him a night picture. Wow. He gives him something. So regardless of what point he was in his walk, he had something to see, to believe. I want to challenge you to get your day picture. When things are going good, get your day picture. Because I'm glad when things are going good. I'm glad things are going well. I'm glad nobody's coming against you. But I want to just remind you, you need to have your night picture also. Because everybody's not going to always like you. And everybody's not going to always be on your side. And everything is not going to always be hunky-dory. Are you hearing me? And when it gets dark on you, you need to be able to see something in the night. Who am I talking to today? Look at your neighbor and say, don't be scared of the dark. See, when I got a night picture, I'm not scared of the dark. But if I don't have a night picture, then the dark will frighten me. See, because I can't see to the east, and I can't see to the west, and I can't see to the north and the south. So nighttime doesn't work for me for looking to the east, west, north, and south. But when you get that night picture, somebody say night picture. So I don't know what your night picture is, but you need to get you a night picture. Every time you get a night picture, or every time you get a picture, it gives you something to grip with your faith. It gives you something to grab hold to with your faith. Can you see that? Your faith having a picture gives you something to grab hold to. That was a key point when I was studying about this. Why? Because have you ever tried to help someone pick up an object, and it was more than two or three people, because the object was big and it was oblong. So everybody tried to get a good grip of it, and then on the count of three, we're going to all pick it up. And so everybody's getting ready to get it, everybody getting ready. And then right before somebody says three, you realize, I don't have a good grip. Have you ever, anybody ever been in that position where you're supposed to be helping somebody pick it up, and you've tried to position yourself, but sometimes objects aren't made to be picked up in every place, and so you don't have a good grip, and they went past one, they went past two, and now here they are on three. Now we realize, ooh, I don't have a good grip, or the grip I have is painful. Y'all hear me? I thought I had a good grip until I put some weight on it. Ooh, that's going to cut. That's going to hurt. And so here we are. We're not able to give it all because we don't have, look at your neighbor and say, because we don't have a good grip. So I found out that when you don't have a good grip, you can't pick it up. But did you notice that even though you didn't have a good grip, the object was picked up anyway? Did you notice, even though I didn't have a good grip, the object was moved anyway? Even though I had my hand on it, but the object was moved anyway. But look at your neighbor and say, but for real, for real. You didn't really move it. I want to talk to you today because some of us believe some of the things that we've been blessed with, some of the things we've been through, we believe we prayed ourselves through. We believe we brought ourselves through. We believe that my faith did this thing. But let's be honest, if you didn't have a real faith picture, you might have had a grip, but I want to let you know you didn't have a good grip. And I'm here to tell you, some of us have been blessed in spite of us. We want to brag that baby, I had to fast this through. Or I had to turn the plate down to get this one. Or it took me weeks of prayer to get that, and I had to get up. We want to brag about what all we did, but for real, if you didn't have an accurate picture to really see it, what God promised you, I promise you, you didn't really have a good grip on it. And God blessed you in spite of you. Aren't we glad that we have a God? Aren't we glad we got a God that will bless us in spite of us? He don't wait till you get it all right. He don't wait till you say it all right. He don't wait till you do it all right. He will bless you in spite of us. Hallelujah. So I don't get too proud of myself just because I preached a good sermon. Are you hearing me, somebody? Or I'm glad to be used. I'm glad to be blessed. I'm glad to be anointed enough to bless you. But I can't get puffed up just because you got blessed by something. I said, why? Because God will bless folk in spite of you. Oh, my pastor, man. What are you saying, pastor? Look, I'm not trying to take anything away from what God is doing, but I'm just letting you know that when God wants to bless somebody, he will reach around us. Oh, man, that's just shocking news, isn't it? When God wants to bless folk, he will reach around. Anybody ever play ball and that guy got around you? Yeah, one more. They're going to probably call it, but he ain't going to lay up on me. God will reach around us to bless other folks. But don't let that startle you. Can I give you some good news? No, y'all acting like y'all don't want no good news. Can I give you some good news? Good news for me is God will reach around me to bless me. Anybody glad about that? I found that God will reach around me. Can we go a little bit further? We're still talking about the orbit of our faith, but I just want to take you somewhere. So you've got to be able to see it in your heart to really believe it. And even in Mark chapter 11, it's something very familiar when it talks about that whatsoever things we believe when we pray, we need to just say it. Watch this. What can I say? So Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Then he said, assuredly I say to you, whatsoever things you say or what you say to this mountain be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. You can't doubt in your heart if you're going to believe God. You got to get an accurate picture that goes against what you're seeing, but it goes with what he said. That's when it says, and believes those things that he say, he will have whatever he says. See, this is not a blank check to just go get whatever you want, but this is something that says when you line up with what he says about you, you can have whatever he says about you. Does that help anybody? So the first revelation was a picture will always, always, always cancel out words. So get word pictures to believe God. Does that help anybody? The next revelation that the Lord showed us was how to understand God. Can we go a little bit further? Well, the first thing I want to share with you. All right. Let's go to Isaiah. Okay. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. This is something I got. Verse 21. I want to jump to this because I believe this is going to really help us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21 through 23. Notice what he says. Go ahead.
Have you not known? Mm-hmm. Have you not heard? Mm-hmm. Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in.
Wow, stop right there, stop right there. We'll read verse 23. Read 23 also. Okay.
He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless.
Now, this is talking about Father God. This is talking about how awesome God is. First of all, it says, have you not known? Have you not heard? He just said, don't you know how awesome God is? Don't you know how bad God is? Listen to how bad he is. And he's been bad from the beginning in verse 21. He's been bad since the beginning of the earth. People may not have understood it from the foundation, but he's been bad. And then it begins to describe God. It says, the Lord, on verse 22, watch this. It says, he who sits on the circle of the earth. He just sits there on the circle of the earth. Now, normally just reading, you just keep on reading. He just sits on the circle of earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers and who stretch forth the heavens like a curtain. The Holy Spirit said, oh, wait a minute, don't move too fast. Go back to me sitting. I said, okay, Lord, what's the big deal? He said, notice I sit on the circle of the earth. And we wanted to show you, remember we talked about orbits? And I wanted to show you, God deals with things differently than how we deal with them. Stay there in your mind here at verse 22. And remember in Revelations, I'm just going to quote this to you. In Revelation chapter 1, around verse 8 and also 11, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So we say we know what that means. He's so big. He's the beginning and he's the ending. He's all the way here and he's all the way there. But really, man doesn't understand that. Man don't really understand that. Why? Because man thinks linear. Man thinks in a straight line. We like to be able to see something. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with using our intelligence. But because we think linear, we can't see around corners. I'm sorry. We just can't. Now, we get close enough to the corner, we can see. But you can't see. Man thinks linear. So he's got to be able to see it to understand it. He's got to be able to figure it out. He's got to be able to do that. But I'm here to tell you, God doesn't have to think linear. God's not limited to our linear thinking. Now, when God created man, man thought totally different. And you see in Genesis where God used Adam to name every animal that was here on earth. Why? Because before the fall, man had the ability to think like God. He could use them. He was in partnership with God. God would bring the animals, and man, Adam was on point. He was just naming everything. Why? Because he thought the way God thought. I mean, it was just like that. But after the fall, all man could do was think how he saw. Are you hearing me? So to understand this, remember our first example in kindergarten or first grade when we dealt with first and last? They would show you a number of seats, and they would say, all right, this seat right here is one, this is two, this is three, and this is four. And they would ask, which seat did I point at first? Well, we would point to what? The one that was number one. And she would say, which seat did I end up pointing to last? And we would see what? Number four, right? So now when in our mind, when we hear God is the beginning or the beginning and the ending, we look in and it don't compute. The picture in our mind cancels out. I know it says he's the first and the last, but they're not the same. So it's hard for us to understand how God works because first and last aren't equal. The beginning of my count, it's not the end of my count. Does it? So the picture in our mind cancels out what I read. Until I go back to Isaiah and say, he that sits on the circle of the earth. Now when I begin to deal with geometry and I realize the degrees and how God can work, zero is the same as 360. So now God can be at zero when your trouble starts and be able to speak before my oh, can I? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. No, the Lord said before your trouble starts, I can be at zero before you even have trouble. And at the beginning of your situation, before trouble even comes, I speak wholeness over your situation before it breaks. So at zero, you don't even know you got trouble. But somewhere between zero and 45 degrees, you get some trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of us get in trouble real quick. We don't need any 45 degrees. We at 5 degrees. We in trouble. Some of us grew up in trouble. Come on, somebody. Some of us came here because of trouble. But I'm here to tell you, regardless of where your trouble came, somewhere in that circle where your trouble was, God was not intimidated with our trouble. Because at that same point of zero, he's at 360 also. Yeah. And he's able to see the beginning, the end from the beginning, and seeing how he's walking you out of whatever you're about to get into, and it's going to cause you to be better than what you were before you even got in it. See, that's why the psalmist say, it was good for me to have been afflicted. Who talks like that? What did you say, David? David said, when I get on the other side of this trouble, once I walk around this trouble and I get to this other side, now I look back at it. Over here at 45, it didn't look good. But now I'm over here at 359. And you know what? Now that I see where I am now and I step at 360, you know I'm better off now than I was at zero. And so I've got to say, I know they meant it for evil. I know the enemy meant to take me out. I know my enemy tried to hurt me. I know they did backstab me. I know they didn't treat me right. But after the end of all of this, I'm going to have to send them a thank you card. All right now. I'm here to tell you that when you learn how to walk in faith and let your faith orbit around what Jesus Christ taught, said, and did, it don't matter what trouble comes to you. You learn how to use trouble as a stepping stone. I know it takes something, but if you can just learn how to step above it. Look at your neighbor and say, just step above it. Oh, now it takes a little effort. It seemed effortless for me to do that, but if you believe it was effortless, let somebody forget how to walk. Have a stroke and have to not be able to use your right leg and try to figure out. Something that we thought was simple becomes more work. Are you hearing me? And we realize, I'm sorry. For those that's on the podcast, I'm standing in front of a step, and I'm pretending as if I can't lift my right leg, so I have to use my right hand to pick up my right leg, and I put a little effort on it, and I pick my right leg up and put it down, and now everybody sees that what looks easy is not always easy to everybody. And so, if you don't mind, we realize that trouble just don't come in ones. How many found that out? I wish it did, but it don't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do your trouble come in ones, brother? No, my trouble normally don't come in ones. And so sometimes you have to step and do it, but you got to get prepared for the next one. Somebody said get prepared for the next one. But you know what? What I've learned is if I can get prepared, first of all, I got to use what came to take me out. I got to use this to get on top of. Learn how to get on top of what came to take you out. Who am I talking to? Learn how to get over. Learn how to get over. Some look at the neighbor and say, get over it. It's people today that still considering themselves victims after 15 years. After 10 years, you're still a victim. After 15 years, wait. Is there any point in your life you're going to become a victor? Because there's a place in Christ where I can be delivered from being a victim and I can become a victor and I become victorious over something that meant to take me out. And I can stand on what meant to bury me. Now I'm standing on what would have buried me, but because of the power of God and what me saying what he said about me, I'm standing on what would have buried me. Oh, you hear me, somebody? And then I look at the next thing and then I step on that and I get above that and I learn how to reacquaint myself, reorient myself over that trouble. See, when trouble comes, you got to learn how to reorient yourself to what's this situation. Because when it comes, sometimes you'll suffer loss. But look at your neighbor and say, but I can afford it. See, because I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Can we go a little bit further? And so here we saw that it says, he that sits on the circle of the earth. When you sit on the circle of the earth, the Bible said that when the Lord that sits on the circle of the earth, he's the one that establishes. God is able to take situations that used to take us out, and he'll bring us through. Look at your neighbor and say, thank the Lord. Wow, that blesses me. He'll take situations that used to take us out, and he will bring us through that same situation. Can I go a little bit further? So now I'm able to understand how the beginning can also be the ending when I stop thinking linear, but when I start understanding what we call last week the loop. When I understand the loop, I understand that the beginning can still be the ending, and the first can still be the what? See, and I understand that. So now my faith is not hindered just because I'm looking at some trouble here. I realize that my faith has an orbit. And I'm going to keep saying what God said about me or what Jesus said about me and walk myself all the way through what is going on in my life. Does that help anybody? Now, this is what I want to do as I close in this example. I got a powerful example for you, and I think we're going to all shout and go home. Or wherever you want to go. Fred, if you take care of that for me. Now, I'm going to need two volunteers. Maybe three. I need somebody that's going to be able to stand up here, look sharp, and just follow directions. So, I mean, got a bunch of, okay, one. Okay, we got a sharp couple right here. Okay, beautiful. Okay, now, and thank you, sir. There you go. My brother said, I know I'm sharp. I'm coming up here, too. There you go. Yeah, wherever you want to go. Right here. Now, what are we going to do? Okay, Lord, thank you. All right. Now, Fred, now I need you to stand right here and face this way. Okay. Now, Fred represents, okay, Lord. Fred represents, oh, wait a minute, you got the white on. All right. Fred represents words, okay? So you come here because you have white on. All right. And stand right in front of Fred, okay? Now, Fred, what I need you to do is just practice walking around the words that Jesus said. See, your words or your faith need to have an orbit, all right? It needs to have an orbit around what Jesus Christ taught, what Jesus Christ said,
yes,
and what Jesus Christ did. Now, watch this. Brother, I just want you to just slowly just walk so Fred can just follow pursuit. Yeah, just slowly walk wherever direction you want. Because now Fred has to govern his words by how the words Jesus say are directed. All right? Now Don represents how Fred feels. Don represents what Fred sees. Don represents what Fred is hearing other folks say. But see, when you want to walk in faith, you can't stay with what other folks are seeing, what you are seeing, and what other folks are saying, because keep on walking, see. Oh, man, he put a little mix up on you. I like that. Oh, yeah. You see, you've got to keep rotating or, right, this, orbiting around what Jesus Christ taught, said, or did, all right? Stop right there. Stay, okay? Perfect example. Now, let's say, for instance, Fred represents someone else. We won't call that person Brother or Sister Cucumber. Now, that Jesus is still doing what Jesus does, but now start orbiting around Sister Don with how she feels and how it looks and what folks are saying. And so Don, just start walking whatever direction you want. Now, when you start letting your words orbit around how you feel, now so you keep doing what Jesus do. See, now you'll notice that a lot of times how we feel might not line up with what Jesus said. But now, but when you get the correct teaching, what'll happen is you got to say, you know what, I'm gonna stop lining my words up with how I feel, and then I'm gonna jump back to what Jesus Christ taught, said, and then when you jump back, now you can realign yourself back to. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What we gotta do, thank you, give them a hand. It is so important, for me to give you a picture. And to be honest with you, they was kind. Sometimes they can go in opposite directions. how I feel, how I think, how it looks can be going one way, and what Jesus Christ taught, said, and did about me can be going the opposite direction. You've got to limit what you see and what they're saying, and even what your mind is trying to tell you to say, and begin to govern your mouth to say what he said. Because when you do that, then you have the ability to look at your situation and know that you're getting a good grip on it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting a good grip on it. See, you've got to get a good grip on it. Stop letting sloppy grace bless you. Some of us are blessed, but let's be honest. It's because he pulled sloppy grace on us, not because we did it right. Isn't there a place of maturity where we don't have to use so much sloppy grace because we can learn how to do what he taught us to do? There's a place where you can learn how to do what he taught you to do, and so now I limit what I say. I don't talk in my anger. When I get mad, I be still. I be quiet. Oh, no, I'm not going to talk now. Why? Because the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Are you hearing me? The orbit of my faith is going to always be centered on my words. As I stand before you today, I want to challenge you to get an accurate picture or what he said about you. Get an accurate picture of what he said about you. I said, Lord, what's an accurate picture? And the Lord said, show him what an accurate picture is. And I said, okay, I'm going to read something to you. Because the confessions that I gave you some time ago, these confessions still work. Look at your neighbor and say, they still work. Confessions still work, and you've got to learn how to work them. Tell your neighbor, work them. You got to learn how to work them and work them so they work for you. Here we go. Listen to the word picture that you're about to hear now. Listen to how these words create a picture concerning how to believe God. All these are scriptural-based words. I'm finding one. Okay, here we go. And here go one. Y'all release it out of your mouth with me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I declare that I'm established in protection, in preservation, in prosperity, in soundness, in healing. I'm established in deliverance, in the ministry of angels. I will not fear. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me, I will condemn it, for it is my heritage. Thank you, Lord, for being my help. Thank you, Lord, for being my help in a time of trouble. When I call, you always answer me. When I call, you always answer me. You're always with me. You deliver me and honor me with your presence. No evil ever comes near my dwelling. And with long life, you show me your salvation. Now stand on your feet. This is what I want you to declare of yourself. I'm established in your word. I'm established in your word. And I declare that I'm preserved from trouble. Now listen, trouble is coming, but you're preserved from it. You're established in the Lord Jesus. I overcome trouble. I overcome trouble by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Now if that's true, and it is, I overcome trouble by the blood of the Lamb. How many know the blood has already been shed? So that part is already done. Now, the part you have to do is the word of my testimony. You've got to release this out of your mouth. Get an accurate picture. Let your words orbit what this says about you. Look, regardless to what you feel, regardless to what you see, I overcome trouble with my words. Can I give you just a little bit more? We're about to go. As the redeemed of the Lord, I declare it so right now. As the redeemed of the Lord, I declare it so right now. In the name of Jesus, I release your angels to go forth now and bring this confession to pass in my life. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, put your hands together and give God a mighty praise in this house. Lord, we bless you now. We thank you for what you're doing in this house and for what you have done and what you're doing in us. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare right now the blood of Jesus over our life. If you realize there's some words you've been saying that's not been in alignment with what he says about you, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. The blood of Jesus covers my mistake.
This has been the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. Thank you, God bless, and have a great week.